What Google Won't Tell You About PSP by Nadia Mendoza. Nothing can prepare you for a loved one getting sick. When medical experts don't understand, you must become the expert. My fiercely independent mum, lover of books, cooking, travel, neat scotch, no ice, and her beloved Sheffield United, was diagnosed with progressive supranuclear palsy. Suddenly, words like brain disease, neurodegenerative, and prognosis were part of our vocabulary as we learned about this weird-sounding illness. The roles reversed, me becoming the parent and mum becoming the child. I hope by sharing information from our journey, it can provide the teeniest light. To keep mum mobile, the first service we accessed was Age UK for seated exercise classes to help coordination, movement, and social activity. We sorted power of attorney swiftly so I could communicate on her behalf. I applied for benefits and mum was awarded attendance allowance and pension credit. Mum moved downstairs, the living room now her bedroom. We had grab rails fitted by the bed and toilet to support her, as well as a rotunda which helped standing from a seated position, all organised by the occupational therapist, OT, via GP referral. The OT also arranged a walking frame, a wheeled commode which could be used in different rooms, and an overchair table that was brilliant during mealtimes. As the illness progressed, the OT authorised a gantry hoist, a profiling bed with electronic adjustments and slide sheets for repositioning. But what we needed most was a living carer. I sought funding from the council through a social worker in the adult social care department. After a needs assessment, they granted direct payments for privately funded care, which provided a double up to visit four times daily to help the living. I requested a council tax disability reduction and had a ramp built for wheelchair access thanks to the Disabled Facilities Grant, also via the council. The GP referred us to Loros Hospice, where Mum joined their Compassionate Neighbours programme and received visits from an exceptional volunteer. We used local Facebook groups to find befrienders, ensuring Mum had diversity of guests, and found a wonderful medical student who visited weekly. Additionally, we discovered soul midwives, sometimes known as death doulas, who provide companionship at end of life. We recruited two, gently explaining their role to Mum as befrienders who help people like you to make things feel less scary. We joked Mum had a better social life than us with all her visitors. The GP also referred to Community Integrated Neurological Stroke Service, CINSS, who provided Smart Seat Pro armchair for weakening posture. Electronic Assistive Technology Service, EATS, who supplied environmental controls, including device to turn lamp on and off from bed. Speech and Language Therapy, SLT, who monitored Mum's swallow throughout the illness. Dietitian, who prescribed high-calorie drinks to maintain weight. Continence Service, who provided pads on prescription. Wheelchair Service. The SLT team were particularly helpful with sensory modification advice, which involves alternating between sweet and savoury or hot and cold to trigger a swallow, and also suggested buying a cappy cup to aid drinking without Mum needing to tilt her head. I contacted NHS Community Dental Services for home visits. They prescribed a high fluoride toothpaste and advised using an electric toothbrush. Along the journey, I made laminated posters stating, "Please have patience to allow me to communicate," for the revolving door of district nurses. I bought stylish neckerchiefs on Etsy to complement Mum's outfits instead of adult bibs. To alleviate light sensitivity, I invested in wraparound sunglasses, and I discovered lollipops are a simple yet effective remedy for excess saliva before Mum transitioned onto an over-the-counter and then prescribed travel sickness pill. We turned to PSPA Facebook groups for support, forever amazed by the wealth of knowledge more insightful than doctors. I recognised when Mum refused to eat or became confused, it was often linked to a UTI. We found a hairdresser for home visits who pampered Mum until the end. We took Mum to my sister's choir concerts in wheelchair-friendly taxis, even in the late stages where she'd listen with her eyes closed. I recommend removing rings at first signs of hand rigidity or deformity. We waited too long and had to cut Mum's wedding and engagement ring off. Fortunately, a jeweller repaired them and they later hung on a chain by Mum's bed. We encouraged friends to send videos on Mum's birthday, decorated her room with fairy lights and a photo blanket, and I made us matching friendship bracelets. But my best advice? Say what you need to now. Seek forgiveness if needed, because whenever you think the end might come, endings often surprise. I expected the end would be when Mum refused food. I imagined her being kept comfortable with sedation for a few weeks until her final breath, surrounded by loved ones. It's not what happened. Mum continued eating, albeit teeny amounts via syringe. Then one morning she didn't wake up. It shook me to my core. I regret not cherishing each goodbye as potentially the final one. I grew accustomed to her enduring illness, assuming she would keep going indefinitely. With Mum gone, there is comfort in knowing she's no longer suffering. She might say death is losing the battle. I say she won. PSP can't get her now. Nadia's honest account captures some of the many challenges people can face when supporting a loved one who has been diagnosed with a life-changing illness like PSP or CBD. There's such a wealth of valuable support and information that comes from those with lived experience, and so much others can learn from these insights. At Compassion in Dying, we support people like Nadia and her mum every day. People who are fiercely independent and want to know more about their options to plan ahead and make sure their wishes are known and can be followed when they become very unwell and can no longer communicate this for themselves. If you'd like to know more about the different ways you can prepare for the end of life, you can call our free nurse-led information line on 0800 999 2434, or visit our website compassionindying.co.uk to find out more. Sarah Mallett, Clinical Lead and Services Manager, Registered Nurse, Compassion in Dying.